if he had just moved this morning and he'd have his will in this place, it'd be all well and fine. Amen? I want to preach a little subject this morning on what happened last week during revival when I sat on that front pew and old Satan tried to sift me and he wanted to take my life from me. He said, "Preacher, I don't believe that." Well, I know what happened. Can I get a witness this morning? Hey, this week you may have been sifted. He may be trying to kill you. He may be trying to rob you. The devil's come nothing to do nothing but kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." And this morning I want to look at the upper room experience. Last week we had an upper room experience last week. Man, the Spirit was good in here. And it was flowing good on Sunday night and Monday night. And all of a sudden on Tuesday night, I want you to know the Spirit was flowing through this place. And old Satan was having a heyday on me up here on this front pew. Hey, but I thank God for Wednesday. Can I get an amen? And this morning I want to show you an upper room experience. Luke 22 and verse number 12, and the Bible says, Luke 22:12, "And he shall show you a large upper room, and it'll be furnished, and there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them with desire, 'I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come.' And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold the hand of him,'" oh, "'but behold the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed.' And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, 'The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that setteth at meat or he that serveth? It is not he that setteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appointed unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.'" In verse 31, the Bible says, "And the Lord said, 'Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat.'" Great preacher on Pentecost, Jesus just told him, "Oh, the devil wants you, boy." Congregation, can I tell you something this morning? The devil wants you. Born again believer this morning, can I tell you something? The devil wants you. Young man sitting in the pew this morning, the devil wants you. Mama this morning, the devil wants you. Daddy this morning, the devil wants you. Deacon this morning, the devil wants you. Sunday school teacher this morning, the devil wants you. Worship leader this morning, the devil wants you. And he ain't going to quit. He wants us, and he wants to sift us, and he wants to destroy us. He said, "Preacher, what are we going to do about it?" Oh, thank God for that. Verse 32, "But I," Jesus said, "but I have prayed for thee, oh, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother." Father, I love you and I thank you. Thank you for the written word. Thank you for the living word. Thank you for the word this morning that stirs my heart and every believer's in this room. Father, we don't have to look for a miracle. We can read the book and we see the miracles. Father God, we don't have to look for a miracle. We can look at our own life and see that we've been born again, and what a miracle that is. Lord, I pray this morning that you just speak to people's hearts. The ones that Satan's riding, I rebuke him in the name of Jesus. That family that he's on, I rebuke him this morning in the name of Jesus. I know every time, Father, I rebuke him in the name of Jesus, I know he wants to fight. But Father God, I'm not come to be a quitter, but I've come to be a fighter. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, you went to the cross for me. Father God, you died for me. Father, you bled for me. Father, you rose again for me. And I thank you for that this morning. And Lord, this morning, with every air and every ounce of my body, I want to serve you to the day that I die. And Lord, this morning, I rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus. This morning, when it comes time for invitation, if there's somebody this morning that's been battling Satan this week, that has been battling Satan this year, has been battling him, I pray this morning that they get under the blood and put him under the blood this morning. Lord, I praise you, I thank you, I worship you this morning. Guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let it be all about you and not one single thing about me. I'm excited to preach your word in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. The upper room experience. I'm talking about an upper room experience. You know, when Jesus went to the upper room and he got to that place, he didn't take everybody. He took them 12 disciples into that upper room. And when they went into that upper room, there were some things that took place. There were some elements that was ready. They had the bread, they had the juice, and they had our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when they went into the upper room. And as they went into that place, Jesus seen that. They had seen Jesus do miracles. They seen Jesus do healings. They done heard of him preaching in Luke chapter number 4 when he said that the Spirit was upon him and he preached the word. But I want you to know, but this upper room experience would get very personal with every one of these believers. Last week in revival, as I sat on that pew and we went through revival and we was going through that, it got very personal in my life. This morning, I know Satan doesn't like me. I know he has nothing for me. And I know that he'll try to ride me every second that he gets. But I got good news for you this morning. Jesus Christ is a lot more than Satan ever has been. Hey, I want you to know this morning, he got cast out of heaven because he's not God. Friends, this morning, there's one that we serve this morning, and that is God, God alone. And as we come here this morning, I want to look at what happened in that upper room experience. What happened when the Spirit of God gets right where it needs to be. I want to show you something this morning. And as I sat on that front pew, and old Satan was wearing my head out Tuesday night, and I thought I was going to die. You said, preacher, is it that real? Friends, this morning, we don't fight in flesh and blood. Hey, we is a spiritual warfare. If you got something against somebody this morning, I want you to know, hey, it ain't flesh and blood that you're fighting with. It's a spiritual warfare. If your family's in a fighting mood this morning, it ain't got nothing to do with flesh and blood. It's a spiritual warfare that's coming straight from hell itself. This morning, I want you to know, when you get right in that upper room and God is working on you and God is speaking to you, there's going to be some things that'll come alive in your life and you're going to have to battle them in the name of Jesus. Amen. You're going to have to battle. There's no need to give up and get out. This morning, I think about me being a preacher this morning, and we're going to get in that upper room, and I think about my daughter that is 17 years old, and I think about the little boy that's going to be coming. I don't want Kaylee to tell that little boy when he gets here, my daddy used to be a preacher. I don't want her to tell him my daddy used to preach. My daddy used to pray. I don't want her to tell him that. I want him to experience that. Daddy loves Jesus. Can I get an amen? Hey, I want you to know, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to get out. I'm going to fight Satan until the day I die. Amen. I'm going to fight that old sucker. And that's what he is. I know you're thinking right now, what's going on? He about killed me sitting there Tuesday night. He had the air sucked out of my body. And if he could have drained it anymore, I'd have died in front of this congregation. But I want you to know this morning, that's nothing uncommon to God. Hey, I want you to know he wanted Jesus dead, and he wants you and I dead this morning. I want you to look at the first thing that we see this morning at that upper room experience. It became very special, Brother JD. When they went to that upper room, it became very special in that place. And they got to that place, and it was very special. And when you ever get along alone with God and you ever get alone with Jesus and you ever get alone with the Holy Ghost and he starts speaking to you, I want you to know it'll become very special in your life. Hey, and the devil knows when you get in that place that things are going to change, that people are going to get saved. Hey, that the church is going to get revived. Hey, marriages are going to be restored. Hey, the homes are going to get right. Hey, I want you to know that you can get to a place that Brother Ricky said. Hey, and you don't have to worry about what's going on around you. All you got to worry about is what's going on inside of you. Can I get a witness this morning? And he said here it was a special place. And as we look in the book, I want to show you why it was special. It was special, number one, because the Lord had prepared it. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 12, and he shall show you a large upper room, and it'll be furnished. There, make ready. He said it's special when you get with God because God prepared it. Friends, this morning, when you get to that place and he prepares that place for you, and you get into that presence of God, it'll become special in your life. Amen. Oh, he got here. Look what he says. And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down. Not only did he prepare it, but he promoted it. This morning, I want you to know God ain't only prepared this service, hey, but he's promoted it. Amen. And he got here. Look what he says. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. This morning, you know what God's desire is this morning? That he'll fellowship with you. You and he had fellowship with me. He says that's very special. Hey, when he sits down amongst us and he gets fellowship, and how special that is. This morning, do you remember that time? Hey, when you got in that special place and you got where God was, and he started speaking to your heart, and you knew that you was in an upper room experience. You knew you wasn't at your home no more. Hey, but you done went to the glory world. Hey, you done stepped out into something and you didn't want to get back. Can I get a witness this morning? Hey, God sat down on you. He changed you and he made you whole. Friends, I want you to know it's a special place when you get along with God. Amen. Oh, it's just a special place. It only does that in that upper room experience. Look what he says here. He says not only did he promote that place, not only he prepare it, but look what he did. He prayed for that place. He prayed for that place. He prayed that they'd get along in that upper room. And he took the cup in verse number 17 and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. What did he take? He took that living bread and he divided it amongst themselves. And when they got there and they got in this upper room experience, it got very personal as they got to this place. And I want you to know it got special in their life. But I want you to know every time God does something, every time God sends revival, every time God revives, you remember this, oh, Satan's going to rise up too. Amen. Hey, because who are we battling? We're battling Satan. Hey, if you start battling somebody, they're not going to just lay down. You're going to have to fight. He's a bully. He's bigger than you. He's bigger than me. He's badder than you. And he's badder than me. But he's not bigger than my Jesus. He's not bigger than my God this morning. You listen to me this morning. If I've ever told you anything, when you get alone with God, it's special. Man, it's special when you get to that place. And I told this Wednesday night. I want you to know when I left here Tuesday, where I was ready to get that upper room experience. When I got home that night, Wednesday night, I knew what the Bible says. What Satan made for evil, God made good. Amen. What Satan wanted to destroy and wanted to kill, God made good. I knew what the Bible says, that weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning light. Friends, have you ever been there? Hey, where it was midnight at night and you didn't know if you'd make it to daylight. Hey, you didn't know if living was worth living. And you didn't know what you needed to do. Friends, I want you to know, oh, Satan, he'll ride you. He'll straddle you. And there's only one way you can defeat him, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. You got to feed him through the blood. You can't defeat him through your own. You got to defeat him through the blood. But I seen something else in the text. It's special being with the Lord and the Lord's people. They got to this place, and they was with the Lord, and they was with the Lord's people. I want you to know there were some of the special times in my life is when I've been with the Lord and with the Lord's people. Been with the Lord and the Lord's people. That prayer room Wednesday night, I want you to know the Lord met us in there. He met us in this sanctuary this morning. He'll meet his people right where they are. He comes unto us and meets us right where we are. But I want to show you two other things. When it gets special, you better watch out. Natalie got saved. Natalie, that's special. Woo, glory to God, that's special, young lady. That's special. You remember when you got saved, how special it was? Don't you wish you could just stay in that special place all your life? Man, that upper room experience, boy, you knew you met Jesus face to face. You knew you'd done died and sat down with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But I'm here to warn you this morning. about an upper room experience. We prayed for revival and we wanted it. Can I say to you this morning, God sent it. There's a difference in a jubilee and a revival. Don't never mix them up. A jubilee is a shouting time. Hallelujah, praise Lord. Wah! But revival brings pain, persecution, punishment, looking on the inside, soul searching, making sure on the inside you're where you need to be with God. This morning I want you to know when a special time comes, there'll also be something else come in our life. Not only when it comes and it's special, there'll be strife that comes with it. Anytime revival's ever come, there's been strife. You listen to me this morning, don't you forget this. You say, preacher, are you always on the mountaintop? Most of the time I'm in the valley. I just had to put a face on to act like I'm in the mountaintop. Because I know this, that the lost man, he's right where I'm at. He's right in that valley. He's fighting, and I have to get down there with him sometimes. And I have to tell him that, hey, you're not going to stay here. If you'll give your life to Jesus, he'll bring you on up. But I knew though this morning, when it gets special, there'll strife come in. Strife will come in. Look at this morning. Look here, church. I'm warning us this morning. Even though we had a special week, strife can come in. Here in the upper room, I'm talking about the only 12 that went in that room was the 12 that he had chosen to go into that upper room. And it was supposed to be a special time. And it turned into strife. It was supposed to be a special time, and it's turned into strife. You know one thing that'll kill a church? Strife. Strife. Strife will kill a church. It will not let it be prosperous. It will not let it grow. It'll kill a church when you get strifeful. When Satan starts striving against you, make sure you're not the one toting him around. Listen to me this morning. When he gets on your back, you rebuke him. Don't you tote him around and let him get on some other brother. I don't believe that way, preacher. You better get to believe it. You listen to this preacher this morning. I may be country's cornbread, amen? I may be a country boy from Detroit, Alabama, but I do know what Satan is. I battled him all the day long. Once again, I faced Satan this morning, and I battled him all the day long. I may not have all that I need in my old noggin up here, but I do know one thing. I got all I need in my heart. And that's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus. And I do know this, when times get right and it gets special and God's starting to move, the strife will come in. Strife will come in. You let a marriage be on a heyday and they be on a vacation, a husband and wife having a good time, everything going good, and you don't know why strife comes. All of a sudden you're against one another and there's a fight and there's fussing and you don't know why. It ain't flesh and blood, it's spiritual. If he can destroy the home, he's destroyed the church. If he can destroy the home, he's destroyed it all. He wants the home defeated. And you know what he wants defeated more than that? The brother. Brotherhood. Look with me as we look in the text this morning. Not only is it special, but the strife that comes. You know what he told them? He said this. He said, there's one that sits at the table with me, and he's going to betray me. So, preacher, that ain't me. All them old boys started saying, is it me? Is it you? Who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Who's the one? This morning I had to ask myself and make sure that I'm not the one. I can't keep Satan climbing on me, but I can make sure he don't stay very long in the blood of Jesus Christ. This morning, not only is it special, but there's a strife. Let me show you in the book here. Let me show you what the book says this morning. He says here, as we look in verse number 24, and let's look in 23, and they begin to inquire among themselves, which of them it was that should do this thing, that should betray Jesus Christ? And there was also a strife. There it is. There's strife among them. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? Which of them would be the greatest? In that upper room experience, it was special, but there was strife in that upper room. That tells me that as special as this church is to my heart, that there could be strife amongst the brethren. There was something going on Tuesday night. I know if you weren't here Tuesday night, you don't know what I'm talking about. But I guarantee if you was here Tuesday night, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Thank you, Sister Missy. There was a suppression, oppression on this building. If the roof would have fell in on us, it wouldn't have done no more damage than it did Tuesday night, the pressure that we was under in this place. So, preacher, I don't like that. That's the way it is. When you start praying for lost people, when you start praying for lost family, and you pray that if there's a lost man, woman, boy, or girl, they come under conviction and give their life to Jesus, when you start praying that, there's going to be strife comes in because Satan don't want it. He says this morning they were stressed in the upper room. Who will betray? Who will betray? When you get in that strife mode, not only they're stressed, but there's separation in the upper room. They want to know who would be the greatest. Who would be the greatest? Can I say to you this morning that if you're blood-bought, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you are the greatest. Turn with me to, we're going to stay. Go with me to Matthew 11:11. Matthew 11:11. Oh, Jesus, if he just ministered to our heart this morning. Give us an upper room experience this morning during the altar call. Matthew 11:11. I want you to get this. And here's what he said in Matthew 11:11. Not only the upper room experience was special, but it had strife in it. Who's going to be the greatest? I don't want to do that. And Jesus says, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. He was the greatest born of a woman. He said he was the greatest. He's the shock caller. He's the one that was preaching in the wilderness. Tell them, hey, you bunch of vipers, you must repent. He didn't sugarcoat nothing. Told it exactly like it was. He said, there's none been greater. Oh, but look what he says, notwithstanding, or except he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. He that is born in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. We must not strive amongst one another. We must not strive. We must not fight. We must not complain. We must not do none of these things. Why? Because we're all equal in the blood of Jesus Christ. There's none bigger. There's none littler. We're all same in the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, why is that, preacher? You know what? John the Baptist, you know what? He didn't have a choice when it come to that place in his life, and he was in his mother's womb. It said the Holy Ghost come on him, and he leaped on the inside. John the Baptist did not choose God. God chose John the Baptist. Hey, but listen to me this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to know this morning, I chose Jesus. Amen. I want you to know this morning, when he knocked on my heart's door, I chose Jesus. John the Baptist didn't have a choice. You and I do. We get to choose who we love and who we serve, and his name's Jesus. If I don't worry about JD, just pray for JD, but I don't get all up in your business, and I make sure I don't get my eyes on the crowd, but I keep it on the cross, it'd be a whole lot better. It'd be a whole lot better. This church would be on fire if we get our eyes off one another and get on Jesus. You see what they did? It got special in that room. He said, I got to prepare you something. You eat all you want. But they got striving amongst one another. You ever had a family just fight every time they get together? You ever had that? Yeah. That should not spill off in the church. We're a family. We should never fight when we get together. We should never wonder who is it going to be the greatest. Because we're all equal in the blood of Jesus Christ. I seen something else in the text, though. You know why there's strife in that upper room? It was Jesus and the 12, correct? There's one more there. You know why there's strife in a church? Only one reason. Because Satan's there. I refuse to be a pastor of a church that has strife in it. I refuse it. Man, I love this place. I love these people. Man, I love what God's doing in this place. I love the spirit that's in this place. But you listen to me. I don't know of no strife right now, but it could come tomorrow. I know it could come tomorrow. Kirby Smart said last night on TV, we're 1 week away from being humbled. That's what he said. That means they could lose at any time. Our players know we're 1 week away from being humbled. So we play week to week. Church, we're 1 week away from being humbled under the mighty hand of God. And strife and everything come in here. You and I must pray that it don't enter this place, that it stays special in this place. That it stays special in this place. If a brother's down, lift him up. If a sister's down, lift him up. If somebody comes to me and they're going to talk about John Wayland, I must say, you don't talk about him. He's my brother. I done told y'all, I got two sisters sitting over here. I love them dearly. They aggravated me when I was a kid. Every one of them's older than I am, even though I look older. I didn't know I was going to live this long. I took better care if I'd known it. Some of y'all would have too, amen? If I'd known I was going to make it this long, son, I took better care. But listen to me, I'm talking about strife. Me and them two, we may fuss and fight, but there ain't nobody else going to talk about them. Why? There's a bloodline. There's a bloodline that runs between us two. Hey, I want you to know, somebody else ain't going to talk about them. They ain't going to run them down. They ain't going to mistreat them. They ain't going to talk bad to them. Why, preacher? Because there's a bloodline that was made one day in our life. When we was birthed into the same family. And this morning, I want you to know in that upper room what Jesus is trying to teach them is this. If you're born again by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the only way to be born again is by the blood, that there is a bloodline between you and I this morning, and there must not be no strife in this place, because there's something else that's going to come no matter what. So we must not let strife come. We must keep this a special place. Luke 22, he says this, I believe in verse number 3. He says this, and he said, and Satan entered in. And Satan entered in Judas Iscariot. When you come into this service, he has an opportunity to enter in. Why, preacher, does he enter in? Not only is this a special place, not only is this place a place in the upper room that strife comes, but when you're in the upper room, just like you are here, and you're sitting in this place and bread's been broke, there's a sifting that comes. There's a sifting. There's a sifting. Why does he sift you, preacher? Because you get to the point that you think, not me. Not me. Jake Gunner, you might, but I won't do that. Hagen Scott, you might, but I won't do that. Brother Les Carr, you might, but I won't never do that. Lord told Peter, he said, Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desires to have with you that he may sift you as wheat. You know what old Peter told the Lord? He said, not me, Lord. I won't deny you. I'll go with you the whole way. Not me, Lord. I'll go with you the whole way. That upper room experience was special, but there was strife in it. This morning he shows us that picture that this place is a special place. It's special in here. Trust me. Brother Ricky's done called me 2 or 3 times. He said, man, y'all got a special place there. All the way from North Carolina, a special place. Man, I would have come in here today on high hill, jumping up and down, going crazy on the mountaintop. But God told me, he said, you make sure you tell them people, even though it's special, that strife can come. Hey, strife can come. And there's a sifting that can come. You that are sitting here today, he don't want you to sit here next Sunday. You that sat here today, he wants you gone by next Sunday. So how do you know that, preacher? Because the Bible says that sifting that comes. Let me show you this, and we'll be getting to the end. Let me show you this morning. He says the upper room in verse number 31, there's a sifting that goes on. And can I give you this? When God calls a meeting, Satan will always show up, even in the upper room. Job 1:6, and said, when the sons of God went before the Lord, Satan came too in the book of Job. Luke 22:3 said, and Satan entered. That's why he's on us. Because God's called a meeting. If God wasn't in this place, we wouldn't be in a battle. You can go to the ball game, you don't get in a battle. Everything's smooth as smooth. You can go to Ross's over in Tupelo. Everything's just smooth. You can go anywhere you want to go and it's smooth. Why is it when you come to the house of God? Because this place ain't like no other place. We don't read the magazine here. We read the Bible. And Satan had it. Look what he said. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. In verse 31. Satan had a desire to destroy God's people, to destroy God's plan, and to destroy God's purpose. Satan wanted to sift, and here's what sift is. Get this. See if this is you this week. If he's been on you, see if this is you. When Satan wanted to sift, it'd be he wanted to take you out. Sifting is to take out. Pluck up, get out. To remove completely. But I love this translation. To turn you up upside down. As these disciples yet hadn't turned the world upside down. In the book of Acts, they will. But before they got to the place that they would be able to turn the world upside down, Satan wanted to make sure that they was turned upside down. I believe this church is at a place that this community that we live in, that God's given us the authority through the blood of Jesus Christ to turn whatever community we're in, I don't know where we're at over here, up. Side down for the name of Jesus Christ. He said, not only did he do that, but I'm going to leave you with this. The upper room experience was special. It had strife and it was sifting. It had been sifted. But there was prayer in the upper room. Preacher, how are we going to keep from having strife in the church? How are we going to keep from being sifted and let God have his way? It'll only be through prayer. Only through prayer when we talk to the Lord. I notice there's three prayers in this text. Verse 17, he took the cup and gave thanks. Verse 19, he took the bread and gave thanks. And in verse number 32, he told Peter, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith faileth not. Jesus said, I prayed for thee. It don't get no more powerful than when the Son of God prays for you. This morning, you know who it is. You know who you are. And you know right where you're at this morning. And you know right now, being a Christian, it's either special. There's times it's special, amen? Or there's a little bit of strife going on. Or maybe it's a little bit of sifting. Just a little sifting. I've never seen a time where people used to talk about the Lord and now don't want to talk about the Lord. You go up to them, man, hey, what's up, man? Start talking about Jesus. And they got to go. I got to go. Why, preacher? They've been being sifted. What used to be their love, now this really don't matter. That won't be me, preacher. They didn't think it'd be them neither. Peter didn't think it'd be him neither. But Jesus said before the cock crow, you're going to deny me. Folks, this morning the only way to keep this place special and to keep your life right where God would have it to be is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Do not let Satan get in any area of your life. I'll say this morning. Satan can't get in a saved man. So he got in Judas, his disciple. The Bible says Judas was the son of perdition. He was the devil anyway. Let me tell you what he do. He can come upon you. He can ride you. He can straddle you. Physically, he can destroy your body. Mentally, he can destroy your mind. But it's the heart. This morning, as a church, we must get to the place that we pray that there be no strife in this place, there be no sifting in this place, and that it continues special in our heart. Because we meet here to worship Jesus. Brethren, we've met to worship and adore the Lord our God. This morning, if you've never had an upper room experience, you can have one at this old timey altar. You have one at this altar. He said the room would be furnished. He said that would mean it would be plenty of room. Plenty of room. Will the blood ever run out? It can't run out. Will it ever run dry? It can't run dry. Will it ever get old? It'll never get old. Father, I love you. Father, I thank you. Father, I praise your holy name. Lord, I've realized this week by studying your word that this is a special place. A lot of special people in this place that comes week in, week out, and they come to worship you. But I'm not soon to forget, Father, that even though when we gather, there is an opportunity for strife. There's an opportunity for sifting. And we must pray that we don't allow that to come into this local body church. Father, we are a family. We are a family of yours, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, this morning we got a new sister. Oh, ain't even 2 days old. Father, she don't need to see no strife in this place. She don't need to see no sifting. Father, she just needs to see somewhere special that she can go and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which is you. Lord, this morning, maybe one this morning that got just a little strife. Maybe this week they've been being sifted. Oh, I'd pray they come to an old-timey altar. They do business with you this morning. Father, this morning we're praying. We plead it in the blood of Jesus. I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people say it. I ask you to stand this morning. Remember,